Reinforcement learning from first principles, a deep architectural analysis. Introduction, building mental models for sequential decision-making. Today, we're embarking on a comprehensive journey through reinforcement learning, but not in the typical survey fashion you might expect. Instead, we're going to build this field from the ground up using first principles thinking, creating robust mental models that will serve as the foundation for understanding everything from tabular methods to modern gradient-based policy optimization. Why does this matter? Because reinforcement learning represents one of the most elegant bridges between mathematical optimization theory and real-world decision-making. When you truly understand the architectural patterns underlying RL algorithms, you begin to see how they emerge naturally from the fundamental problem of learning optimal behavior through interaction with an environment. We'll structure our exploration around four key conceptual phases, each building upon the previous. Foundational concepts, where we establish our mathematical framework, core algorithms, where we see these principles in action, policy learning paradigms, where we explore different approaches to optimization, and finally, advanced topics, where we connect modern deep RL to these fundamental ideas. Foundational concepts, the mathematical architecture of learning. The Markov decision process, our conceptual foundation. Let's start by understanding what we're actually trying to solve. At its core, reinforcement learning is about finding optimal policies in Markov decision processes. But what does this really mean? Think of an MDP as a mathematical formalization of sequential decision-making under uncertainty. We have states that capture all relevant information about our current situation, actions that represent the decisions we can make, transitions that describe how the world changes in response to our actions, and rewards that provide feedback about the quality of our decisions. The Markov property is crucial here. It states that the future depends only on the current state, not on how we got there. This might seem limiting, but it's actually liberating from a computational perspective. It means we can reason about optimal behavior without maintaining infinite histories of past states and actions. The elegance of this formulation becomes clear when you realize that most complex decision-making problems can be cast in this framework. Whether we're training a robot to walk, optimizing a trading strategy, or learning to play chess, we're fundamentally solving the same mathematical structure. State action tables, the simplest architecture that could possibly work. Before diving into complex algorithms, let's understand the simplest possible approach, tabular methods. Imagine we have a finite number of states and actions, small enough that we can literally create a table with a row for every state and a column for every action. This tabular representation is more than just a computational convenience. It's a mental model for understanding how value functions work. When we talk about QSA, the expected return from taking action A in state S, we're literally referring to an entry in this table. The beauty of tabular methods lies in their conceptual simplicity. Every algorithmic update is just changing numbers in a table. Every policy improvement is just looking across a row to find the maximum value. Every exploration decision is just choosing which table entry to update next. But here's the key insight. Even when we move to function approximation and neural networks, we're still fundamentally trying to approximate these same table values. The tabular view provides the conceptual foundation that makes all other methods comprehensible. The Bellman equation, optimality through recursive decomposition. Now we arrive at what many consider the fundamental insight of dynamic programming and reinforcement learning, the Bellman equation. But let's build this up from first principles rather than just stating the mathematical formula. The core insight is remarkably simple. The value of being in a particular state must equal the immediate reward we expect, plus the discounted value of wherever we end up next. This isn't just a mathematical convenience, it's a fundamental property of optimal decision-making. Consider the mathematical formulation, Vs equals max A, Ps Ps A, Rs As plus Genfreng. This equation is saying something profound about the structure of optimal policies. It's telling us that optimality has a recursive structure. We can decompose the problem of finding optimal long-term behavior into immediate decisions plus optimal future behavior. The beauty of this decomposition is that it gives us both a way to characterize optimal policies and a computational approach for finding them. If we know the optimal value function V, we can act optimally by choosing the action that maximizes the right-hand side of the Bellman equation. But here's where it gets really interesting. The Bellman equation doesn't just characterize optimal values, it provides uniqueness guarantees. There's exactly one function V that satisfies the Bellman optimality equation, and it corresponds to the optimal policy. This uniqueness is what gives us confidence that our algorithms are converging to something meaningful. The convergence guarantees come from the contraction mapping theorem. The Bellman operator, the process of applying the right-hand side of the Bellman equation, is a contraction mapping in the infinity norm. This means that repeated applications of the Bellman operator will converge to the unique fixed point, which is exactly the optimal value function. Q-learning, value iteration through experience. Now let's see how these theoretical insights translate into a practical learning algorithm. Q-learning represents one of the most elegant connections between theory and practice in machine learning. The fundamental idea is to learn action value functions, QSA, directly from experience without requiring a model of the environment. We start with arbitrary initial values and update them based on observed transitions using the rule QSA plus QSA plus afar gum xA QSTPNIS. Let's unpack what this update rule is actually doing. The term R plus gum xA QFQMS QSA is a temporal difference error. It's measuring the difference between what we expected, our current Q value, and what we actually observed, immediate reward plus discounted future value. The genius of this formulation is that it's performing value iteration implicitly. Each update is making our Q function more consistent with the Bellman optimality equation. Over time, as we visit state action pairs repeatedly and update based on experience, our Q function converges to the optimal action value function. But convergence requires specific conditions. We need to visit every state action pair infinitely often, ensuring exploration. The learning rate must satisfy certain mathematical conditions, some to infinity but some of squares finite, and the environment must be stationary. These aren't just technical requirements, they reflect fundamental trade-offs in learning from experience. The exploration requirement is particularly interesting because it highlights a key challenge in reinforcement learning, the explore-exploit dilemma. To learn optimal values, we need to try actions that might not currently seem optimal. The epsilon-greedy strategy provides one solution. With probability epsilon, choose a random action. Otherwise, choose greedily according to current Q values. Value functions, the architecture of prediction. Let's dive deeper into the relationship between state values VS and action values QSA, because this relationship reveals something fundamental about how optimal policies are structured. The state value function VS represents the expected return from being in state S and following the optimal policy thereafter. The action value function QSA represents the expected return from taking action A in state S and then following the optimal policy. The mathematical relationship is VS equals max A QSA. This seemingly simple equation encodes a deep insight. The value of a state is determined by the best action we can take from that state. This is why Q-learning can work without explicitly learning state values. The policy is implicit in the max operation over Q values. But there's also the reverse relationship. QSA equals CSP SKSP plus GNV. This shows that action values can be expressed in terms of state values and the environment dynamics. This bidirectional relationship between V and Q functions is what enables different algorithmic approaches to the same underlying optimization problem. From an architectural perspective, this relationship suggests different computational strategies. Value iteration focuses on updating V values and deriving policies from them. Q learning updates Q values directly. Actor-critic methods maintain separate representations for both policy and value functions. Each approach has different computational and statistical properties. Policy learning paradigms, on-policy versus off-policy architecture. Now we encounter one of the most important architectural distinctions in reinforcement learning, the difference between on-policy and off-policy methods. This isn't just a technical detail, it reflects fundamentally different approaches to the explore-exploit trade-off. On Policy Methods, learn about the policy they're currently executing. SARSA, State Action Rewards State Action, is the canonical example. The update rule is QSA, QSA, plus AFAR, plus GUM QSA, minus QSA, where A is the action actually taken in state S, according to the current policy. The key insight here is that SARSA learns the value of following the current policy, including its exploration behavior. If your policy includes epsilon greedy exploration, SARSA learns the value of being epsilon greedy. This creates a tight coupling between the policy being evaluated and the policy being improved. Off-policy methods, exemplified by Q-learning, learn about the optimal policy while executing a different behavior policy. The Q-learning update uses MAX-A, Q-S-T-A-P-I, rather than the action actually taken. This decoupling is remarkably powerful. It means we can learn about optimal behavior while executing highly exploratory policies. From a practical implementation perspective, this distinction has profound implications. Off-policy methods can learn from any experience, old data, demonstrations, or even random exploration. This makes them more sample efficient in many scenarios because they can reuse experience. On-policy methods must gather fresh data for each policy update, but they provide more stable learning dynamics because there's no distribution mismatch. The mathematical foundation for off-policy learning relies on important sampling when we need to correct for the distribution mismatch. If we're trying to evaluate policy pi using data from policy mum, we need to reweight the returns by the ratio pi as for s as. This correction ensures unbiased estimation but can introduce high variance, especially when the policies are very different. Advanced topics, from values to gradients. The advantage function, reducing variance through architectural insight. The advantage function ASA equals QSA minus VS might seem like a simple mathematical manipulation, but it represents a profound architectural insight for policy learning. To understand why, we need to think about what this function actually measures. The advantage function captures how much better action A is compared to the average action we might take in state S. This relative measurement is crucial for policy gradient methods because it provides a natural baseline that reduces variance in gradient estimates. Consider the policy gradient. Te-the-the-j-the equals e log the-the-the-s-a-a. Without the baseline, using raw returns, the gradient estimate has high variance because returns can vary dramatically across trajectories. The advantage function centers these returns around zero, dramatically reducing variance while maintaining the correct expected gradient. From an implementation perspective, this leads to the actor-critic architecture. The actor learns a parameterized policy, while the critic learns value functions to compute advantages. The critic provides the baseline that makes the actor's learning more efficient. This architectural separation allows each component to specialize. The actor focuses on policy representation, while the critic focuses on value estimation. Policy gradients, optimization in policy space. Now we reach the conceptual bridge between value-based methods and modern deep reinforcement learning, policy gradient methods. Instead of learning values and deriving policies, we directly optimize parameterized policies using gradient-based methods. The policy gradient theorem provides the mathematical foundation through thetet j pi the e thet log p the s q pi sa. This theorem is remarkable because it shows we can compute policy gradients without knowing the environment dynamics. We only need to be able to sample trajectories and evaluate the log probability of actions. Let's build intuition for this gradient. The term a thet log p the as is the score function. It points in the direction that increases the probability of action A in state S. The term q pi sa provides the scaling. We want to increase the probability of actions that lead to high returns and decrease the probability of actions that lead to low returns. The beauty of this formulation is its generality. We can use any differentiable parameterization for the policy neural networks, linear functions, or more exotic architectures. The gradient computation remains the same, making policy gradient methods extremely flexible for complex policy representations. However, this flexibility comes with challenges. Policy gradient methods typically require more samples than value-based methods because they're learning in the space of policies rather than values. They also tend to get stuck in local optima because the policy space is non-convex. These trade-offs explain why modern algorithms often combine value-based and policy-based approaches. Gradient flow and modern deep RL architecture. In modern deep reinforcement learning, understanding gradient flow becomes crucial for building effective algorithms. The challenge is that RL gradients tend to be much noisier and more unstable than supervised learning gradients. Consider the flow of gradients in an actor-critic method. The actor receives gradients that depend on advantage estimates from the critic. If the critic is poorly calibrated, the actor receives misleading gradient signals. If the actor changes too quickly, the critic's estimates become stale. This coupling creates complex dynamics that require careful architectural design. Trust region methods like TRPO and PPO address this challenge by constraining policy updates. Instead of taking raw gradient steps, they limit how much the policy can change in each update. This constraint can be implemented through KL divergence penalties or by clipping probability ratios. The architectural insight is that stable learning requires managing the rate of policy change, not just the direction. From a systems perspective, this leads to more sophisticated training loops. Instead of simple gradient descent, we need careful scheduling of actor and critic updates, experience replay buffers to decorrelate samples, and multiple epochs of training on collected data. The architectural complexity reflects the fundamental challenge of learning from your own changing behavior. From tabular to function approximation, scaling the architecture. One of the most important conceptual bridges in reinforcement learning is the transition from tabular methods to function approximation. This isn't just about scaling to larger problems. It fundamentally changes the nature of the learning problem. In tabular methods, we can represent value functions exactly using lookup tables. Each state action pair has its own independent parameter. This independence means that updating one Q value doesn't affect any others, leading to clean convergence guarantees. Function approximation changes everything. When we represent QSA using a neural network parameterized by weights the, updating based on one transition affects the values of many other state action pairs. This creates interference between updates that can destabilize learning. The architectural solution involves several key insights. Experience replay buffers decorrelate training samples by storing transitions and sampling random batches. Target networks provide stable targets for temporal difference updates by using a slowly updated copy of the main network. Double Q learning addresses overestimation bias by using separate networks for action selection and value estimation. These architectural patterns didn't emerge randomly. They address specific pathologies that arise when combining temporal difference learning with function approximation. Understanding these patterns is crucial for building robust deep RL systems. Exploration strategies, the architecture of discovery. Exploration represents one of the fundamental challenges in reinforcement learning, and different exploration strategies reflect different assumptions about the structure of optimal policies and value functions. Epsilon greedy exploration is appealingly simple. With probability epsilon, take a random action. But this strategy is remarkably inefficient because it treats all actions equally during exploration. It might repeatedly try clearly suboptimal actions while ignoring promising but uncertain options. Upper confidence bound, UCB, strategies provide a more sophisticated approach based on the principle of optimism in the face of uncertainty. The UCB action selection rule, A equals argmax A, Q and Q N A, balances exploitation, Q values, with exploration, uncertainty estimates. Actions with high uncertainty get exploration bonuses proportional to how rarely they've been tried. Thompson sampling takes a Bayesian approach. By maintaining probability distributions over Q values and sampling actions according to their probability of being optimal. This strategy naturally balances exploration and exploitation by exploring in proportion to uncertainty about optimality. From an architectural perspective, these strategies represent different ways of managing the explore-exploit trade-off. Simple strategies like epsilon greedy require minimal computational overhead but provide poor sample efficiency. Sophisticated strategies like UCB or Thompson sampling require more computation but can dramatically improve learning speed. Connecting the paradigms, value-based versus policy-based methods. Having explored both value-based and policy-based methods, we can now understand their fundamental relationship and relative strengths. Both approaches are trying to solve the same underlying optimization problem, finding optimal policies, but they take different computational paths. Value-based methods learn optimal actions indirectly by first learning value functions. The policy is implicit in the value function through the greedy action selection, PiS equals argmax A QSA. This approach works well when the action space is discrete and relatively small, because we can easily compute the argmax operation. Policy-based methods learn optimal actions directly by parameterizing and optimizing policies. This approach is essential when dealing with continuous action spaces, where computing argmax over actions becomes intractable. It also allows for stochastic policies, which can be important for partially observable environments or game-theoretic settings. Actor-critic methods represent a synthesis of these approaches. They maintain explicit representations of both policies, actors, and value functions, critics. The critic provides low-variance baselines for the actor's gradient estimates, while the actor provides a direct policy representation that can handle complex action spaces. From a computational architecture perspective, each approach has different scaling properties. Value-based methods typically require fewer samples but struggle with large action spaces. Policy-based methods handle complex action spaces naturally but often require more samples due to higher variance gradient estimates. Actor-critic methods attempt to get the best of both worlds at the cost of increased architectural complexity. Conclusion: the architectural principles of reinforcement learning. As we conclude this deep dive into reinforcement learning, several architectural principles emerge that transcend specific algorithms or applications. First, the principle of recursive decomposition embodied in the Bellman equation provides the mathematical foundation for all RL methods. Whether we're doing value iteration, Q-learning, or policy gradients, we're fundamentally exploiting the recursive structure of optimal decision-making. Second, the principle of learning from experience distinguishes RL from other optimization paradigms. We must learn optimal behavior through trial and error, which creates fundamental trade-offs between exploration and exploitation. Different algorithms represent different solutions to this trade-off, each with their own computational and statistical properties. Third, the principle of approximation becomes crucial when we move beyond tabular methods. Function approximation enables generalization, but introduces new challenges around stability and convergence. The architectural patterns in deep RL, experience replay, target networks, trust regions, all address specific pathologies that arise when combining temporal difference learning with function approximation. Finally, the principle of architectural specialization suggests that different components should focus on different aspects of the learning problem. Actor-critic methods separate policy representation from value estimation. Hierarchical methods separate high-level planning from low-level control. Modular architectures allow each component to specialize while maintaining clean interfaces between them. Understanding these principles provides the foundation for reasoning about new RL algorithms, debugging learning failures, and designing architectures for specific applications. When you encounter a new RL method, ask, how does it decompose the decision-making problem? How does it balance exploration and exploitation? How does it handle function approximation? How does it organize computational components? The answers to these questions will help you understand both the algorithm's strengths and its potential failure modes. Reinforcement learning continues to evolve rapidly, with new architectures and algorithms appearing regularly. But the fundamental principles we've explored today, from the Bellman equation to policy gradients to exploration strategies, provide the conceptual foundation for understanding and contributing to this exciting field. These aren't just mathematical tools. They're ways of thinking about sequential decision-making that apply far beyond traditional RL settings. Whether you're training robots, optimizing financial strategies, or designing recommendation systems, these architectural principles provide a framework for reasoning about learning optimal behavior through interaction with complex environments. The mathematics may be sophisticated, but the core insights are deeply intuitive once you build the right mental models. That's the power of understanding any field from first principles. It transforms a collection of techniques into a coherent way of thinking about fundamental problems.